Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news and specializing in track days, club racing, and greater entertainment. We truly do it all. And this week we are brought to you by the Working Class Customs YouTube channel and Working Class Custom itself, a custom fabrication shop out of Northern Utah. If you have any further questions on that, you can direct them to Cole? I don't have a Cole. I'm just kidding. I knew there wasn't going to be a cold night. He's off busy doing some sweet motorcycling stuff. I'm sure we'll hear about it next week. In the meantime, we are going to bring on a special guest here in a minute because I just don't feel like you guys are quite ready to hang out with me for an entire hour and a half to 2 hours of your lives. So I'm not going to do that to you. We're going to bring on a special guest and have a good chat. I think the guest has some things to announce. We'll see. See when the guest gets on here and we'll let you know. So anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and roll the intro and we'll get into tonight's episode.
Yesterday at one point, I was in sick.
And we're back
and this isn't Cole, but this is Josh. Do you want to introduce yourself in case people haven't seen the podcast before?
My name is Josh Bittinger. I'm a slightly uglier, older version of Cole. I'm not wearing the hat, but we'll still try to have fun.
There you go. This is Josh Bittinger from Bittinger Motorsports. So, you know, first thing I want to talk about, Josh, was actually the weekly riding tip. We have you in person this week. I don't know if you still have them on file. If not, I can read them to you. But
we can talk about any of them, all of them. I think I gave you a bonus one last week that was kind of a coaching tip for people who coach. I thought that might be a little bit something different. I guess it could work since I'm on here tonight.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and read it. Do you want to start with that coaching one or just the standard riding tip?
Did I give you a standard one too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Sir.
Yeah. Let's talk about both of them. Go ahead.
All right, sweet. Let's get after it. All right. Well, hey, this week's weekly writing tip is brought to you by yours truly. He's that way. Josh Bittinger, who owns and operates Bittinger Motorsports, which is private coaching that builds solid riders through vision-based training. So Josh has to say from my mouth, even though he's here, don't be misguided. There's a lot of bad info floating around online. If you follow modern social media trends, it's easy to be led astray. First track day picks of how is my body position and how is my tire wear have become the norm. Your goals for your first track day should be to get used to the track environment, learn the track and the line, and don't crash. If you're trying to drag elbow your first day, you're jumping too far, too fast. Your ego and improper focus make you a danger to yourself and others. The sport is hard. It takes time. You're not going to be a pro on your first day or even your 10th. Although posting pics of your pro level body position on your very first day may impress that girl you've been messaging on Instagram, real riders will take note that you are focused on the wrong things. So take your time, listen to your coaches, let the sport come to you, and take any YouTube training videos with a grain of salt. So that is the weekly riding tip. I think we'll start there. We'll pause. We'll get back to the coaching one here in a minute.
Okay.
I did just want to start off with saying that, Josh, you know these podcasts are posted on YouTube, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
You ever worked on a car and tried to fix your car, went to YouTube and found a lot of guys doing videos and you do what they do and you break a lot of stuff and you spend twice as much time and have to buy extra parts because they post a video about something they really didn't know what they were talking about?
I have seen that. That is, you know, I will say one thing I take pride in when I start a video that I'm going to post to YouTube, I do make sure that I say I'm not a certified mechanic. I'm also not a certified riding coach. Whatever opinions that I have to give you are strictly opinions. But I will say that I think for the most part, I'd say 98%, Josh's tips are pretty solid riding tips.
I was going to ask you tonight, you know, we've been doing this for a while. I was going to ask a few controversial questions. I was going to ask you, is there anything that you disagree with? And we should talk about it later, but just something to talk about. But no, that tip, I remember when I wrote that about whatever, a week or so ago, I was actually a little bit grumpy. Sometimes these tips come from something that actually happened that week with a student. And I had a couple of students that were just asking these. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, but they were just focused on the wrong things. And you could tell that they were trying to reach, you know, step number 10 when they were struggling with step number 2. Right. And it actually ties into that coaching tip we'll get into in a minute. But, you know, how do I put this? you know, all the tire things, you see all this stuff, these guys, how are my tire wear and all this stuff is kind of getting annoying. And that's one thing, but and everybody wants to know about their body position after one day. And a lot of students that come in their first day, they want to, you know, everybody wants to have a nice picture at the end of the day and say, hey, I got this far. And a lot of guys think they're going to come in and be Marquez the first day and they're focused on the wrong things. And from a coaching standpoint, it sucks because those focuses are getting in the way of the things that they need to be doing. And your first day at the track, the first half of the day, the first few sessions is just your brain can only do so much. And it's, holy crap, I'm on a racetrack. You know, that's all you can really focus on. We talk about the $10 of attention and what can you focus on. And first half of the day, it's crazy to be on a racetrack. Secondly, most people don't study the track and don't know their way around. So step number one is we've got to get you safe and get you on some sort of a semblance of a line so that you can play nice with all the other riders. And then after that, that's a lot to take in, just learning a track in a day. You've been to a lot of tracks. I mean, you're probably as well-versed as anybody that learning a track in a day is a challenge to some degree. And a lot of tracks take 2 or 3 days. So when I want a guy to, you know, number one, my rules are number one, be safe. You know, you got to get out there and be safe. Make sure somebody's not weaving all over the place. They get control of their bike. Number two, they got to kind of learn the line where they're going. And number three, at the end of the day, if you have enough time to get maybe just a little bit of basic body position, just a little bit, and you've won for the day. That's a great first track day. Yeah. So guys that come out wanting to drag me the first day, it's just, we always got to back them down a little bit. And that's what that's from. And just a lot of stuff floating around. And I love that guys are excited about it. You know, if you're out studying videos and looking and you're watching podcasts like this one and everything else trying to learn, that's absolutely awesome. I just encourage people to, you know, be aware that there's bad information and there's also too much information, which actually kind of ties into that next coaching tip.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'll mention that, or we'll get there in 1 second. But I think where you ended there, you know, you reminded me a lot of my first ever track day. And yeah, no, I 100% wanted to go drag my knee. I showed up there and I was like, I'm gonna get my knee on the ground. I've got to be close. I've been out on the road sticking my leg over. I've got to be close. And then I got all my pictures back at the end of the day, and I didn't have coaching or anything, so that was whatever. I was just out there, just kind of doing it. I will say that the coach that was there, Ken Hill, that day, he had cones everywhere, and I was going to a couple of his classes. So, like, learning the lines, I think, came pretty well. But, man, I was slow. I looked at the pictures afterward, and my knee was, you know, foot and a half, 2 feet off the ground still. And I was like, whoa. Okay, let's just take a pause on the dragon knee thing. And so, you know, it's something that I try and stress on people when it's your first time going to a racetrack is exactly what you're saying. Realize that it's going to take some time. Your first time you're out there, focus on, you know, exactly what you're saying, learning your lines, realizing you're on a racetrack, and just having some fun. It's honestly, it's your time to, like, you know, you get a guy at his first track day, he hits that front straight on his 1000 and he floors it. I can't even be mad. That's awesome, dude. You figured it out. You paid the money to go do that in a safe environment. You freaking floor that bike, floor it down that straight. I'll get you at the end. We'll outbreak you at the end, but you deserve it. Go get it, right? Because that's one of the few places you can do that, not get pulled over, not have a problem. And I think that's, you know, there's some, I don't want to say sacredness, but reserves need to be put on track days for fun. It doesn't always have to lead to racing. It doesn't always have to lead to being super fast. It doesn't always have to be that. It can just simply be an outlet to enjoy the bike that you paid so much money for that you can't legally enjoy on the street. So,
totally. Totally.
Anyway,
here, let me show you something. Check this out. I don't know if you can see it on camera here. Let's see. You see that little the tattoo that's not lined up and this nice little scar? Second track day, VIR. Second track day. Drug knee for the first time. Oh, I got to do more of it, right? Mm. And went out there and I was so crossed up. I had my butt hanging way off the seat, riding crossed up, so be trying to get that knee down, trying to get that knee down more. I didn't have any good instruction. And I was on an old R1 and because I didn't know any better. Of course, go to the track. First day, you got to have an R1, right? So turn one or, I guess two. So focused on that, rolled on the throttle too much, unloaded the rear, high side of myself, my second track day, and lost the next 4 months because I was focusing on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any better. So there
but
you go.
You did drag your knee, though.
I drug my knee. It was so cool.
Yeah. How were the pictures on Instagram?
Dude. It's so funny. I lift my knee now. Like the curbing and MSRH, when you come around with me, they're pretty steep and they've got the little channels in them for runoff. Mm-hmm. And you drag your knee at MSRH, it'll rip your knee backwards and rip you off the bike. So you kind of want to lift. I lift my knee, but anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I've had that specific discussion with a couple people. Had a buddy that was dragging his knee and drug it a lot and may or may not have been using it as a kickstand. He comes in and it's all the way gone. Knee puck just gone. Leather may or may not have had a hole in it. I was like, all right, bud, hey, tap it. There's your edge. Pull it back into the bike. Maintain that line, right? So anyway, with the, you know, sticking on this theme of you as the rider, you as the student of the coach, you know, realizing that it's your first time, listen, learn, enjoy, but don't expect to be Rossi by the end of the day, because that's not what you're there to do. If you are coaching someone, this is what Josh has to say about that. Just rationing of knowledge. So knowing how much to teach and when is critical to being a good coach. Every coach inherently wants to impart all their knowledge on their students, but feeding them too fast can be a detriment. An over-eager rider may try to do too much too fast and crash, or information overload can confuse riders and cause them to mentally crash. Assess your students, identify what the next step in the progression is, and feed them what they need to know for that next step.
I like it.
That's weird. That's wild.
Because I wrote it, and I was kidding. This one actually comes from something that we've been talking about this week. I've actually been tasked to help some of the coaches. I have a coach's handbook I've written for all of my guys on my staff, but Ride Smart has recently asked me to help out with the private instruction side of their school. And typically, like, if you want private instruction, you can pay extra money and get an instructor for the whole day. And that's cool and it's awesome, but we've just kind of been just assigning you a coach and that's it. I'm going to give it some structure. So I took some of my coaching handbook and pulled some things out. And that's one thing that I really want all of those coaches with Ride Smart and really anybody in the paddock, if you're teaching your friend something, you really should be aware of how much you're teaching them. And I'm going to give you an example of why this is important. Somebody's, when they first come to the track, they're so excited, they want to learn everything, right? And a lot of people just want to share everything they know, whether it's A, because they care about that rider and they want them to know all the information to keep them safe. Some people want to share all their info to show how much they know, you know, whatever the reason may be, coaches want to impart everything on them. But if you give somebody too much, an overeager person, they can be so excited to go out and do everything. They'll try all this stuff that maybe they're not ready for and they can crash. Secondly, you can only process so much. You got on the racetrack and we talked about, again, the $10 of attention, obviously from the Keith Code book. If you do too much, you're trying to do this, do that, you get caught. We call it cognitive overload. You're focusing so hard on your hand position that you forget to tip in at the right spot and you run off, that sort of thing. So if you're coaching someone, figure out where they are and figure out where the next step is and only give them what they need to go out for the next step. And, you know, that way they're not trying to do too much. And I'm gonna give you an example. I learned a hard lesson like 3 weeks ago. I had a 14-year-old girl that came. She was training. It was her first track day. I'd been working with her father for about 3 months and wanted to get the kids into it. It's great. He's getting them a membership. They're all going to come ride. She's doing her first day. And she'd done her first two sessions and she was learning the line. She was doing okay. But we came in and her dad was kind of talking a little bit about body position. You know, he was starting to push that a little bit. And we have that lean machine. And I said, all right, well, let's go ahead and go through a little bit of that. And we talked about the screwdriver grip and pulling your other hand over. And as I'm going through this, and given this is a 14-year-old, you know, I said, hey, listen, this is all more advanced stuff for later on, but let's just get you through the motions. In the next session, we get ready to go out. And I told her, okay, I'm going to go do the track. But all I want is just a little bit of putting your head down here, head down here. That's it. That's all we're doing. So we're riding around. And after about a lap, I'm looking in the mirror and I see her shuffling her hands on the bars. And I'm like, okay, that's too much. She's not ready for that. So I pulled her off track. We come off side and I said, hey, listen, I see you shuffling your hand. It's too much. You know, remember, that's all we're doing. This is all I want for right now. We go back out on track and we come over what you'll learn here in a few weeks when you come ride with me over the launch to the right. And I look in the mirror and there she is shuffling her hands. She whiskey throttles, runs off the edge. It was a little bit wet from where it rained a few days before. And she goes down. And I learned a big lesson that day. You know, an adult probably could have reserved wanting to try that, but a 14-year-old, she wanted to do everything she could. Yeah. I gave her too much information and she used it and she went out. She was totally fine. We picked the bike up. She got her first crash out of the way. They ended up laughing about it. It was no big deal. But I learned a hard lesson as a coach that day. I knew not to give too much, but he was even more so in the case of this 14-year-old. So, you know, I encourage anybody, if you go out and you're coaching your friend's first track day and everything, you know, just be aware, don't give them too much too fast. So yeah, there's your, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that advice. I try and reserve myself personally, you know, almost going back to back to what we were talking about earlier, is like, it, if it's your first one, forget it, man. Lap time, who cares? Top speed, who cares? Lean angle, who cares? Go have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you show up, and especially kind of the whole internet thing, you know, the internet's all over. Well, how's my tire wear? How's this? How's that? And I'm like, look, realistically, obviously you did a day on those tires like that. So if your pressure was off, you still did it. It was probably okay. So should you have your tire pressure set wickedly too high? No. Should it be down at 5 pounds? No. But really anywhere in between there that's relatively on pace, you shouldn't be worried about a half pound difference like the pro racers are, right? Yeah. And that's just one aspect of, like, you get asked all these questions like, should I worry about my suspension setup? Should I worry about this? Should I worry about that? And I'm like, until you find yourself finding some sort of limit in your own ability, that's when you can start making some adjustments and worrying about some smaller things. But for that first time, and then, you know, what you're saying is, as a coach, you got to recognize that. And I would only add to that, that I don't know how easy this is, because especially guys, we've all got egos, right? So I show up to a racetrack with a motorcycle. You're like, all right, so how long you been riding? Like, you know, 6 years, but I put 10,000 miles on the bike every year. So I ride a lot. Okay. But if you can break into that person, break into the shell a little bit and get to know them and get an idea of, like, okay, does he have the muscle memory of riding? Does he have too much muscle memory of riding that's wrong, that we need right. to go ahead and kind of crack that and restart over here? Or is this person actually going to be open? And then for those of you that are listening that haven't done a track day yet, if you're there and you paid for a coach, you paid for it. Open your mind. Listen to the coach. They know what they're doing. They're going to feed you what you can handle, nice and slow, nice and easy, and you'll find yourself having faster progression that way than taking the ego route and being like, no, I know what I'm doing. So
100%.
Yeah. Anyway, so we would like to thank Josh Benger and Benger Motorsports Park for bringing us that weekly tip this week.
This is weird.
It's good. It's good. I like it. I like having you here. It's good. Beforehand, I was sitting here trying to figure out, I'm like, how am I going to, anyway.
No, it's all good, man. No, I want to thank you guys. Like, when I met y'all at COTA, what, a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of caught me off guard. I didn't realize, like, okay, podcast, cool. And we did a little small interview, but I've been watching you guys and how you've grown. And also how you guys have grown on camera together and how the show's kind of grown. I dig it, man. I like it. I think it's great. I think you get a lot of good information out, and that's what the sport needs. Back to the first step, we have good information, and you guys are putting good stuff out there. I love that you got your race license. It's, I think viewers follow you as you progress and ride. So congrats on that. And with you guys bringing in guys like Lugnut that really know stuff, I mean, I enjoy watching, and I hope others do. So thanks for letting me be a small part of it. Pretty cool to you know, try to contribute a little bit each week. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, we appreciate it. We've gotten good feedback from, you know, just to let you know, good feedback from the listeners. And hey, if you're listening and you enjoy the weekly riding tip, throw the Josh a thumbs up down below. Leave him a comment saying thanks, because we definitely appreciate it. Even if there are animals and whatnot involved, you know, it's okay. Mostly motorcycle related. So anyway, besides the fact that, you know, Cole's not with us, which I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, if you guys are missing Cole, also leave him a comment saying you miss him. And
I miss Cole.
Yeah, you guys can light him up in the comments for not being here. It's all his fault. No, I'm just kidding. But he'll be with us next week, and hopefully we'll be able to share some stories. I will do also have to say we'll be covering MotoGP most likely next week, at least a little bit, for both this past week and next week, since they're doubling up, and MotoGP Fantasy at that point. So, got to put that out there. But on to the meat of the show, which, Josh, I got to say, how do I put this? You know, so I, as you mentioned, actually, you know, we met at COTA, and I think I talked to you a couple times on the phone, and I hadn't talked to you for quite a while, honestly, but I followed you on Facebook, and I was like, oh yeah, there's Josh, he's doing some cool things. Then we met up again, got you on the podcast, started doing the weekly tips, and I started paying a lot more attention, and you're doing some big things down there at MSRH. I'm trying to, like, every week I'm like, can I mention this? Can I not? Can I mention this? Can I not? This has changed. This is new. So walk us through. I think it's been, you know, a good few months since we've had you on here. We've seen you in person. Walk us through kind of what have we had changed down there? What's big, what's upcoming, and what's going on?
And there's a lot of stuff, and it's all due to the Houston, Texas motorcycle rider community. People down here are awesome. I moved here because of, like, I think I've told you before, I moved here for the CMRA paddock and for the people. RideSmart, the people there are just awesome, and we are very fortunate. I'll give you a list of all the stuff here in a minute, but before I even tell you about all this stuff, like, I cannot express how thankful I am for everybody that's making this happen. I mean, we're putting in the time and effort. You guys know my girlfriend, Michelle, she moved down here with me, and we're, you know, pursuing all this together. And it's just, I'm living the dream. A lot of people say, oh, I'm living the dream. Dude, we are living the dream. It's awesome right now. I don't even know where to start. Let's do the RideSmart stuff first. So RideSmart's been great to us. People that don't know, you know, I have my personal coaching program, things that I've put together, Bittinger Motorsports, and then RideSmart picked me up, and everything that I offer by myself at MSRH, RideSmart has, they asked me to come on board, and at every RideSmart event, we give those products as an add-on to the regular track day. So we've been growing RideSmart in a lot of different ways, and RideSmart from 3 years ago until now has really taken off. It's just, for those that don't know, RideSmart is a motorcycle school here in Texas. We're not a track day org. We are a little school. We try to stress that. We try to make sure that people come to learn something every day. Even all the way through the advanced group, you need to be learning. It's not a track day. We're not racing. It is a school. We're trying to model ourselves more after a, I don't want to say a California Superbike or Yamaha Champ School, a little bit closer to that than an open track day work. Every level has classroom. And when they brought me on, we have a couple things. The flagship of what Bittinger Motorsports does is mini moto cross training. You guys knew about that already. That has taken off. That's actually a program I started for Michelle. You know, a lot of programs, you can go get a pro racer and learn from him. But I created this program. My girlfriend said, I want to get on the racetrack. So I thought, how can I make her safe? So we did a mini moto program, and then I bought some bikes and started developing drills for her. Mm-hmm. And then people started noticing, and then it grew. And then I started getting faster through racing, and people started, anyway, it blew up into this cool cross training thing. So that's awesome. So that's offered at every RideSmart event. So number one, we do, you know, cross training at every RideSmart event. It's a mini moto clinic, and it's really great. Like, if you go to a track day, you can learn one or two things through the day, maybe, because, you know, track day, it's hard to focus. These mini motos, and you're going to come do this with me. I'm excited. You're going to come down and spend a day with me. In a day on mini motos, most of my students say you can learn more in 10, more in one mini moto with me than 10 track days, just because we get all these repetitions in a row. We really try to take you from here to here very quickly. Because, and it's because of the repetitions at slow speed. So mini motos is a big deal. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I'm just agreeing. I'm excited.
You're excited?
I'm excited. I will also let you in on a secret, and it's not really a secret at this point, but I have zero official coaching up to this point.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Ken Hill's name. You said you had a little bit of coaching.
He was a coach at my first track day. I went to some of the classroom sessions, but I did not get coached by him.
Okay.
I've not like done, I, well, okay. So yeah, you know, I've listened to tips of whatever, but I've never like paid for coaching at an event.
Okay.
Yeah. I've shown up to events, and if they had some like coaching-ish stuff available, I would go to it. Cool. I've been to some events where it was kind of forced on me, and that event actually wasn't that great of a time, to be honest, but anyway, a different story. But yeah, my trip down to visit Josh later on this year, we'll be going over it for sure, because I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
Well, that's my goal. I really want to take you from here to there. We're going to work hard on that. I really don't know where to start. There's so many different things, but I mean, just so that everybody knows, that's, you know, we operate within RideSmart. So there you go. RideSmart had some stuff happen this year. We signed with Aprilia, and we have a fleet of RS660s, and we have some RSV4s for the coaches. And they, RideSmart, we now offer a flying ride program.
The RSV4s were reserved for the coaches?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I'll tell you a story offline about Saturday on that, by the way. But yeah, so the 660s you can fly in, and it's really designed for people that want to ride tracks like COTA. Let's say you're in New York, you know, it costs a lot of money to travel, get your bike down here. So it's one of those deals you can fly in. We've got the bike ready, prep for you. We'll set the suspension to some degree to your weight. You know, we'll set preload in front and rear for different rider weights. Get the bike prepped for you so you can fly in. Literally, there's a rug underneath the bike. It's flying ride. We got the red carpet treatment. They give you lunch. You got your own garage at COTA. So it's a neat experience. You can come in, ride COTA. And the 660s, I'll say, they're a very easy bike to, they're very intuitive to rad. You know, you can get two sessions on it, never been on a 660, and it's a very easy bike to get used to. So you can fly in within a few sessions. I like to think that you can get used to the bike pretty quick. So we signed with the Pirelli, we have the fly and ride. That's kind of a big deal. I'm gonna go ahead and jump ahead to something you don't know about yet, and I'll go ahead and announce this right now. Here we go. I've been working on this pretty hard behind the scenes, and you know, I'm from the East Coast, and I moved here because of all the cool stuff here, and we're going to bring it back to the East Coast. We have been working with Jennings GP, and March 15th, 16th of next year, I think Dave and Quan signed the contract. We're going to bring RideSmart to the East Coast, to Jennings GP. I think it's like I said, it's a great program, and I want to bring it to the East Coast so that everyone on the East Coast can get a chance to learn the way that I did. Yep. So I'm one of the things I'm tasked with right now is, you know, staffing that. I've got to take some Texas guys. We're going to do a recon trip, go out and ride ride Jennings. I've got a million laps there. I used to drive down all the time from Virginia and ride it. I've got some friends that are coaches, out there that are, they were going to come to COTA and shadow and learn, Kevin Spalding, Dan Spalding, a couple of buddies of mine. I don't know if you go to Jennings, you guys, if you're around Jennings GP, I'm sure you know those guys, but they're going to help us out and help us coach at Jennings. And we're going to bring the program to the East Coast. So I'm really excited to announce that.
That's awesome.
It's a big deal.
I was just saying that's super sweet. That's that track is down in Florida.
It is in Florida. It's right near the Georgia line, just south of Valdosta, Georgia, or Valdosta. I'm not sure how you say it, but I love that track on the East Coast. I know a lot of people when it gets cold bring their travel trailers down, park them there, and just fly down once a month to do training. I know Kayla trains there all the time, which we'll talk about that in a minute. She's going to be at COTA next week doing some private instruction. So that's interesting. Okay. With RideSmart. So Kayla's going to be there.
So if you don't have your tickets yet and they're not sold out yet.
Yeah.
Worth looking into.
But we're going to be coming to the East Coast, and I've also been calling every track on the East Coast. And actually this is something for anybody out there, any viewers that can help us out. We're looking for East Coast tracks to ride. Now, there are a lot of track day orgs out there, and we don't want to step on anybody's toes. Obviously, there's a lot of great orgs, and I've ridden with almost every one of them because I'm from the East Coast. But again, this is different. We're a school, so we're trying to hit a little bit of a demographic, trying to treat it like a school and not just a track day. But I've been calling VIR, Barber, Polecat Training Center. But what I'm finding is a lot of these tracks are actually very loyal to the people who have been there, and they don't want to thin down the market for the existing track day schools. And I get it. You know, that's totally cool. But we're trying to add other dates to the East Coast. We'll see how this works at Jennings. And over the next few years, we hope to bring RideSmart to the East Coast. So that's a big announcement. First time premiere just for you on JK Moto.
There you go. Yours truly. Heard it here first. That is that's huge news. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's especially good for me because I want to ride COTA real bad. And you know that. I think I've been telling you about that forever. But having the opportunity to ride with RideSmart, ride with you at somewhere that is much closer, you know, COTA's a 19-hour drive. Texas in general, I'm looking at least, I think, 16 just to get in the border. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's huge. Looking forward to, you said, in March?
March 15th, 16th, Jennings GP. Cool. And for anybody who wants to hang out, we're I told Dave and Quan, the owners of RideSmart, and I said, we're going to pay the fuel cost to go all the way to Florida. The week before is the 200, right? So I said, we're actually going to make a big trip out of it. We're going to go out a week early. I think we're going to go to the Daytona 200 for Moto A. We're going to do a vendor booth and set up. I'm going to bring the lean machine, all our assets, and we're going to be there just to meet and greet, you know, meet the East Coast community. We've got a few, you know, there's some Texas riders that are RideSmart affiliated that will likely be competing. You know, doing something at Moto America. My real good buddy, Dylan, he does Super Hooligans, so he'll be there racing his 519 bike. So we'll come out and support people we know, try to meet people at the 200. And then there's a week gap there, and I don't know if you've seen. I like to go to different dealerships and, like, bike nights and whatnot with the lean machine and some of these things. And I'm really, really big on getting people off the street to the track. So I'll probably, the Tuesday or so after the 200, I'm going to go to Orlando and try to book an event at a dealership or a big bike night and try to, you know, get people interested in track riding. We'd like to, I do a whole class called Noob School. I try to educate people on why to go to the racetrack. Same thing you covered in some of your podcasts, some of your videos is, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about the track. You know, people think, do I need a race license? Do I need to be fast? Do I have to have a race bike? No, you don't. Bring your street bike. Come on. So we get rid of all those misconceptions, and I try to talk people into getting off the street to the tracks. We'll do probably do an event in Orlando on Tuesday, probably go over to Tampa, St. Pete on Thursday, trying to drum up business. And then we'll have our track day at Jennings. And it's, I really want to do well there. Like, we're going to put a lot of effort in. I really want people to come out and show up strong. Jennings was, you know, a lot of people around there. I used to ride there all the time. Like, cause I would drive 10 hours down to just go ride the weekend and hang out with those guys. So I'm hoping we can bring RideSmart to Florida and be successful so that we can come back. So I'm gonna be working real hard on that. And if you guys can do anything to help promote that event in March, that would be great. And, hopefully it can be, we can continue to go that way. So RideSmart East Coast, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That is sweet. I've never been to Jennings, so, you know, I'll mark my calendar for sure. And if you haven't been, that's probably a good one to go to. If you have been, you haven't ridden with RideSmart, well, here's your opportunity. Great track, great location. Should be nice and warm, even though it's March, for those of you that live over in the colder areas or up in the colder areas.
So,
yeah. Come down and join us. That'll be sweet. That's super awesome.
Does that cover all the RideSmart stuff? We got the Flying Rod. We got Aprilia. We got the race program launching. That's going to be a little bit, yeah. But it's for anybody that flies and rides, gets on the Aprilia. We've got Michael Bassani, who's a superbike engineer for Scheib Racing. He's a Moto A data guy, and he's leading the program where you fly in, hop on a bike, go out, check out video and data, and we can compare it to faster riders. And it's a whole learn how to use data program, learn how to get faster type thing. That's not quite launched yet, but that's the last RideSmart thing that's kind of happening right now. And we're excited about that too, but it's taking a little bit of time to get that developed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's awesome. That's sweet. So that's RideSmart. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I'd say that's half of Josh Bidinger, half of Bidinger Motorsports.
Yeah.
Or I guess that half of Josh Bidinger. The other half of Josh Bidinger is, I think, what I was also curious about. I was definitely curious about, you know, the only RideSmart thing I think left on the table is, what's with this giant trailer you got?
Our first year doing the mini motos at COTA, we were out in the parking lot just cooking. Middle of summer in Texas, you know, 108 degrees. You got guys out there and they're, you know, I made them wear leathers or at least street gear and just sweating their tail off and hard to find any cover. So Dave and Quan and I talked about, you know, it's a premium experience, you know, it's extra coaching. Let's get something out there that let's do a mobile classroom. So we got this 44 foot. It took a long time to pick a trailer, but we had a 44 foot gooseneck made for us. They didn't have the mobile motorcycle school classroom floor plan. So I kind of had to design and draw that out.
Weird.
But yeah, we got a 44 foot gooseneck. I put in my buddy JJ and I actually, he's an HVAC guy. We put in 28,000 BTUs of air conditioning. So it is like a meat locker when you come in off the paddock. So it's great when you're doing any of our events at COTA or any of the, you know, really any of the tracks when it's hot, you come in from the drills. I've got couches set up in there. I've got the AC blowing right on your face. We've got TVs, we've got the dry erase boards, and we come in and I'll go over theory and video and whatever. You cool off and then throw your helmet back on and go back out. So we try to provide a comfortable experience. You can come in and relax a little bit and get some relief from the Texas heat. That first summer we didn't have it and it was brutal. It really was.
So on the off chance that you said, nope, sorry, not for me, I'm out. They've got air conditioning now. You can head back.
We do. We absolutely do. It's cool. And Dave and Quan were great. They funded that. They got that all wrapped for me, and it looks pretty cool when we roll into the paddock, and it's really nice. And the gooseneck, I got a place to sleep in there now, so I'm not on an air mattress that's like, you know, leaking out through the night. It'd be funny. Michelle would sleep with me, and you know, you ever seen this thing at the lake where the guys jump off the dock on the big balloon and they catapult somebody up into the air? Mm-hmm. That was it. Every time I got up to use the restroom in the middle of the night, poor Michelle, she'd be up and down from my big butt getting up and out of the bed. So we've got a real mattress and a real bed now, and it's we're living in. And luxury.
Yeah, luxury. There you go. All right, sweet. Well, yeah, that I think that wraps up all my RideSmart questions. So, you know, staying local, headed back home. Yeah, you know what? Actually, real quick, I'll have a link for RideSmart down in the description. I also think we're going to get Dave and Quan on here eventually.
They want to. They want to get you to COTA. That's why I was calling you. Like, come ride with us, man.
Yeah.
You're a busy guy.
We do have a lot going on, but we'll get there. It'll happen. So if you're holding out for that, stay holding out. We appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel also. It'll happen. It'll absolutely happen. But moving forward to Bidinger Motorsports. So, you know, every week I talk about Bittinger Motorsports. We have solid riders through vision-based training, which I love that logo, or slogan, I guess would be. It's not a logo, it's a slogan. Sorry, get my vocabulary mixed up all the time. You operate down at MSRH. Yeah, MSRH is... Well, you guys did... You got hit with a storm earlier this year.
Yeah, Hurricane Beryl came right over top of us, ripped the roof off of the condos, dumped a bunch of metal roofing right on the front stretch. It was a mess. It took us 4 days of dragging stuff off the track and cleaning up insulation and whatnot. It was a real mess, but yeah. We got it back open. And things
when I first, you posted a video of that. And when I first saw it, I thought you were posting some sort of coaching. I had, like, for some reason, the hurricane didn't even register in my head. So I thought you were posting some sort of coaching video. And I was like, what is he doing? What kind of, he looks like he's going super slow. Okay. Maybe he just slowed it down. Maybe he's out walking the track. And I'm like, what is that thing there? And then I realized, I like read the description. I'm like, oh, that's a roof. Yeah,
that's okay. A roof.
That's not supposed to be there. It's not normal. No, got it.
No.
It was rough. Turned me off. But we're good now. We're back on.
Yeah.
Back open. Yeah. The asphalt is asphalt.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we'll talk about. I guess I can go ahead and announce it. I've been working with track management quite a bit on a lot of stuff at MSRH. It was actually cool this weekend. I was at Eagles Canyon, and I had a guy come up that I don't even know who he was. He tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, man, we're all watching what you're doing at MSRH, and we appreciate what you're doing." And I was like, "Well, that's cool, man," because we've been working hard on a lot of things, and we've been there about a year and a half now, and I think the track management's really starting to understand that we're trying to do the right things and that we're trying to grow the sport and we're trying to bring money back into the track and that our programs are working. So they're starting to give me some concessions and allowances. So right off the bat, they gave me garage 11 and 12 track side at the garage, which is really big for me because, you know, we do on-track private coaching and we also do the mini motos. And,
right.
You know, most of the time I like to do a two-day camp where we do minis one day, on-track the next. But it's so nice to have all the bikes in the garage. I just show up in the morning, roll up the door, and we're ready to start riding. Instead of, man, that first year and a half, it was unload the trailer and set everything up. It was a lot of work. So we're officially in garage 11 to 12, trackside at MSRH, which is just huge. It's awesome. Everybody seems to like it. You can literally go right out the front door, right on the pit road and you're on track. So that's a nice thing. I'll be building that out a little more. I'm going to be adding some cooling, some HVAC in there. I've already got TVs, dry race boards set up. I'm trying to make it the best classroom possible. So as soon as you come in off track, I got the laptop set up. We can pull data. We can look at video. I've got track maps. I mean, basically any tool that there is to make you a faster rider, I want it to be there so that we can use whatever tools necessary. A lot of times I'll be doing a private coaching on track and I'll see something the rider's doing and I'll be like, man, you know what? That one drill would be great. So I'll pull a rider in and say, hey, let's go to the skid pad and we'll take a mini moto out and we'll go do a drill in the middle of a track day because I think that's going to be the most beneficial tool at the time. And it usually works pretty well.
Okay.
So number one for us, we got the garage at MSRH, which is huge. Really, really excited about that. And we're thankful that the track allowed us to have that. So kind of cool. The big one that everybody's really excited about is we are launching. I know you're look at you smiling, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Man, we got to grow the sport, which means we've got to get kids involved.
This is before you get started. This is huge. Because if you go any other country in the world where motorsport is, you know, you got soccer and then F1 and then a couple other weird things and then MotoGP. And so many countries around the world that produce solid riders for MotoGP, well, they have youth programs. Those kids are riding bikes from the age they're 3 all the way up. And I don't really see that here. So to just... And I'm not necessarily, I don't even want to like, you know, beat you to anything and be like, oh my goodness, Josh Bittinger is going to be the king of all the youth programs in the world or whatever. But just to see someone, you know, also recognize that and say, okay, hey, we're going to do something about it. And we're going to do our best to make our imprint, at least put a toe print down and try to make a difference. And that's freaking awesome. So yeah, this announcement is very exciting to me.
It was part of our plan since Michelle and I moved here. Michelle is wonderful with kids. She says I am too. I don't think nearly what she is, but Michelle's great with kids. She raised three boys through motocross, and every time that she's around any kids, she's just amazing with them. And, you know, and she rides and she coaches with me, and she's working on her skills as well. But we've been wanting to do that, and we said from the beginning that we wanted to come down and grow through the sport through that, because every year you have track day orgs that, you know, they draw a box around all the riders and all their money, and they shuffle it with schedules and all this, but nobody's really putting more riders into the box, and the box is shrinking, right? So we've got to get more riders, and it starts with the kids. And that's a big thing. I mean, you go to Europe, kids are riding from an early age, and that's why they just whoop the heck out of us, you know, all these sports. So we're going to do a few things. I got the official announcement. Yeah, we've got a youth program at MSRH. We're buying up a couple different kids' bikes right now. But the big part that really made us go ahead and do this now is, I told you, the track is kind of working with us now more so than before. They have a go-kart track there that they're very proud of. And they've actually got a lot of really nice carts. And for years, they have said no two-wheel device will go on our track. They were very picky. They didn't want any bikes falling and pegs scraping up the track surface of the kart track.
Just understandable.
And, yeah, I get it, you know. But it's a really neat track, and there's one turn that's banked up kind of like a big Daytona, you know, bank turn, and we're going to be able to divide it in half so we can do drills here, drills there. And anyway, like I said, the track's starting to listen to us a little bit, and I said, "Hey, it's sitting there vacant Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, can we use it and make some money for the track?" And when I presented it the right way and leveraged it right, they gave me permission to use the track. So anyway, we've sold off a few things to make a little bit of money, and we're buying up kids' bikes right now. And this is another announcement. If anybody has anything that they'd like to sell, donate. We've actually had a few people give us a few bikes, which is way cool. We're looking for Yamaha PW50s, TTR50s, TTR110s. I've placed an order for a couple of Ovale knockoff mini GP bikes that we're going to use for the older kids. Okay. And anyway, we're working on the structure, but we're going to do some stuff still in the skid pad. Safety is the biggest thing. Any child, regardless of what mom and dad says their skill level is, they're going to have to prove to us they have the right amount of skill before they get on the kart track. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, safety is, you know, very important. So it's paramount. So we'll have a curriculum for the skid pad where, you know, kids can learn the skills and demonstrate that they're capable of handling the motorcycle. And then level two will be, you know, out on the go-kart track. We're just really excited about that. My personal goal, we'll see what happens. You know, our local racing organization is the CMRA, which is the Central Racing Motorcycle Association. You know, they've got a class specifically for, you know, the motards, the kids and all that. And I want February next year, I want a full grid of kids. And okay. I really think that that's important, and we're going to work towards that. And well, we're trying to provide everything. So, you know, one of the problems, I guess, is, you know, parents don't want to go out and buy, you know, even a PW50, it's $2,000. You know, that's a large investment. Mm-hmm. And by the time you do that and gear, you know, a lot of parents don't have the money to go do that, to try something that their kid may or may not like. Yep. So we're trying to open the door here where instead we've got the leathers, we've got the helmets, the boots, the gloves, and the bikes. You just bring your kid and a positive attitude, and, you know, we'll see, you know, if they like it or not. And that way somebody's not stuck with the bike that the kid doesn't ride. So, yeah, we're trying to make it accessible for kids.
That's huge. That thought right there, what you mentioned of, you know, it's one thing to invest, let's call it $4,000, right? And that's just a start. I'm not trying to say like, oh yeah, your kid could race a whole year for 4 G's. I'm not going to put a number on that because tires and fuel and travel and hotels and what, you know, what it, we're not going to get into that. That's not the purpose of tonight, but let's call it an insert cost of $400 to enter, right? Kids change their minds every day. You know, you go, it's that time of year, you go Halloween costume shopping, and you got to make sure that it's, you got to make sure it's the right costume. And you got to say like, hey, you're not changing your mind. This is the one. It's the one. That's it. You can do a different one next year. And you know, your kids, as they get a little older, they get interested in hobbies. They want to go fishing. They want to go ride a bicycle. They want to go snowboarding. They want to do ballet or dance or cheerlead or play football or t-ball or, you know, all these different things. And then next year, after you buy all these football pads, they're like, no, I really want to play hockey. And it's a new set of pads and a new set of skills and a new all of that. So offering the ability to, hey, maybe your kid's interested, maybe not, let's find out. Pay us the cost of here's what a day costs for coaching and training, which is absolutely great. Cool. No different than a football camp or anything else you might send a kid to. But you're not in it for the long run or for the big investment right off the bat. So that's awesome. I think that's huge. Just that aspect alone, let alone everything else that it does involve. I do have to put a quick plug for one of our great friends, Bison Leathers. If your kid is staying interested, they do have a youth program, which I thought was super cool. You can reach out to them for more info, but the way I understood it when they presented that was you purchase a suit, and as your kid grows, the suits keep going. And then that if they're in the program, they stay in the program, the suits are upgraded for free, and they'll donate the old suits to different programs across America. And then they get a discount on their first like adult suit. Once they hit an age where they're not going to keep growing anymore, they get a discount on that first adult suit. So if, you know, you take your kid down to Josh Bittinger this winter, kid's like, yep, no, we're doing it. We're in for it. And you got to go race next year. Great place to look. Great option for that. So,
because kids, I want to piggyback on that. Robert and Tasha are awesome. My first year racing, I got a Bison Thor 2. It was a great suit, and I crashed the hell out of it, and it always kept me safe. Ride Smart may be helping me with suits right now if they're trying to make something happen to help me on the cost of that. And they're hooked up with AGV. So I'm going to see what happens there. But if I don't get some assistance there, I absolutely am calling Robert and Tasha to see if they can help with this. I love those guys. I love what they did. Their whole story where they started, their company. Yeah, I would love to work with them on this, but I have certain contractual things that I've got to pay attention to first. And then after that, we'll go and do whatever. So, but yeah, they're great. And I totally agree. And when it comes to leathers, they're top notch. So
there you go. Yep. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. If you got,
I got an idea.
All right.
Uh-huh. Come here. Come here.
I feel like are we introducing another guest?
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're doing a kids program and she's going to teach your kids, you got to meet Michelle. So,
hello.
Yeah, this is Michelle, my girlfriend / she should be my fiance and wife right now, but we haven't had time to do all that. But Michelle's going to be leading the kids program, and everybody's like, oh, Josh Bittinger started a youth program. Yeah, but it's going to be her program. She's going to be leading it. I'm going to help develop the curriculum. But while I'm teaching the minis and everybody else on track, this is the young lady that's going to be working with kids and making them faster. And then, you know, obviously I'll be in there floating too, but Michelle's awesome. And I just wanted you to meet her.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, it's nice to meet you real quick before you leave. Cause cameras are scary. I got it. how excited are you?
Oh, I'm super excited. Ever since Josh and I started developing the minis program, actually for me, one of the things that I loved the most was that I started in a minis program myself in Maryland with an all women's group. And the very first thing I said was that the repetition reminded me so much of what I did with my kids, raising them through motocross. And so I told him, I was like, this is like amazing. This would be great for kids. And one of the things I loved so much about motocross environment was the depth, the grassroots, and everybody there was family. Mm-hmm. And going to the track just made me, sorry, we have a train. Growing, like being around family and kids, our kids became very acclimated with all the other families and other kids that they raced with. And it was the kids couldn't wait to go. It was better than going to the local park. So, doing this with the kids is hugely important to me, and especially to my heart. So, yeah, being with kids is great. So,
well, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear. I'm super excited about it. I might talk to you guys a little bit more offline about why and some plans for the future. But you know, when I saw it from Josh, I also, you know, we're friends on Facebook, Michelle, and I saw you made the announcement. I'm like, that's perfect. And then hearing Josh say, well, yeah, hey, you know, she raised three kids through motocross, having like a coach who has coached people, and then also a mom who has done the moto mom thing. And I'm sorry if those are like bad words for that, but no, that's all fine. I know. I don't know how to define it, because I know just seeing and hearing all the stories and everything that goes into that, I know what it takes to a degree. Yeah. That's awesome. I think it's a great pair, and I think it can go over and above and all the way out the top. So. Super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to start.
There you go. Good deal.
Thank you.
Cool.
All right. Bye.
That's my girl. She's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, no, that's, dude, that's huge. And you know, for everyone listening, I'm going to assume most of our listeners are over the age of six. I don't know too many 6 year olds that'll sit through a podcast. But if you have kids or you're thinking about having kids, it does seem to be where this sport, one of the places where this sport dies. And it, that kind of hurts me because there's so many stories, you know, like Michelle just mentioned, of the family, the grassroots, that it's gotta start there. So if you live far away from Texas, you know, I'd still say go for it. But especially if you're down in that area, keep an eye on Josh and what he's doing and getting that program kickstarted and go check it out because it's worth it. And don't let kids be a deterrent from continuing your life in the sport. If you got to slow down, that's fine. Slow down. I'm trying to be a better preacher of, you know, it does take a lot of money to do what we're doing, what we all love doing. And sometimes that money gets overwhelming. And so people just quit. And they're just done and out. And that's easy to do. You know, it's easy to just be like, yep, okay, cool. Sell the bike, delete that. I'm just going to go work. And maybe I'll get back to it 10 years later. If you can, by any way, just slow down. Say, all right, well, I can only afford 2 track days this year, but I know I can do that. Do 2 track days this year. Come out and enjoy a Moto America race. Go talk, hang out at track days, honestly. Because if you hang out at track days, you bring buddies with you that have motorcycles. They might want to do some track days. They might start racing, and we can continue to grow that sport. The more people that just leave it and say, no, I'm done and out, the less it grows. And then I can't keep doing this podcast because there won't be anything to talk about anymore. And I'll be sad. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's just my 2 cents on that. But
no, it's great. It's great. Well, and you talked about just Texas, but something I didn't mention is that the kids program, we're going to do it at every RideSmart event.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't have go-kart tracks at every RideSmart event, but the parking lot curriculum at COTA. In the parking lot at COTA, you will see on Saturdays, I'll be doing day one, my mini motos with adults. Right there in the paddock with me will be Michelle working with the kids. And I've recently, at all the recent events, I've been kind of bringing it up. I said, hey, how many people have kids at the riders meetings? A lot of hands go up. And I said, okay, how many of you guys would bring your kids? Let us train them over here while you're on track. Everybody's hand is up. So we're trying to make it a deal during the RideSmart thing where you can come, bring your kids, drop your kids off with Michelle. They can have a great day riding the little bikes in the parking lot. You can go do your track day. You can come back, have lunch together with your kid. Hey, how's your day? And that sort of stuff. We want that family environment. And that way everybody has, you know, I do think that there are some adults that they can't go to the track because they have, you know, they have kid duty that weekend, right?
Yep.
So we'll try to overcome that a little bit, but it will be available at every RideSmart event that has the facilities where I can do minis. Like when we go to Hallett in Oklahoma, unfortunately, there's not a parking lot for me to do the drills. So there I can only do private coaching on track. There is no mini program. There will be no kids program at Hallett, unfortunately, because that is one of my absolute favorite tracks. But but anyway, any RideSmart event where there's a paddock where we do minis, there will be a kids program next year. So. There you go.
Heck yeah. Well, that's awesome. Super excited about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you know, I'll be honest. That was the news that I was waiting for.
I hate that we got to minute 47 before we talked about it. We should have just went straight to that. We really should.
Yeah, that's all good. It's all good. It's a podcast for a reason. We're here to take up an entire commute for there and back. It's all good. But yeah, now that's, it brings me hope, I guess, I think, for the future. And not even just the whole, you know, there's multiple different aspects of, like, it'd be great to see an American back on the podium in MotoGP. Right. Got it. Joe, we're rooting for you, Joe, over there. Joe Roberts, you're doing some good things this year. Rooting for you. Hope you make it. But he's on his own. It's just him. And we've sent a couple over. They've done okay. And then they've come back. And I understand life's hard over there. But I've always wondered what the story is. Like, when did they actually get started? If they had started earlier, how much better would it be?
Sure.
Absolutely. And if we can start multiple earlier. So, yeah, it's huge. It's awesome. I'm super excited about that. Look forward to it. Look forward to hearing all about it. And we'll continue to promote that also. So if you have kids or you know anyone with kids, it's like, man, I wish I could get my kid on a bike or I wish I could figure something out. This is a great place to start. So,
well, I've raised a little bit of money for the program to buy some bikes. I've also got a 1967 Firebird that I love. I've done an LS swap on it, but we're selling that off to help raise money for some extra bikes. So if you know anybody looking for a 67 Firebird, please reach out. if you have any of those bikes I listed and you'd like to sell them for a decent deal, we're looking for new or new-ish bikes. You know, I don't want to put kids out on something that may have issues. Please reach out. I've got a guy, I think, coming this week. He's going to sell me a TTR. Almost brand new TTR 110 for a very good price just to help the program. So we've got a lot of people that have been reaching out trying to help, and we really, really, really appreciate that. So, we started the minis on a shoestring budget. We moved down here on a shoestring budget, and it's grown, and we're probably reinvesting too fast, but we really want to get the kids stuff going. You know, I want Michelle out there with me as soon as possible coaching the kids. So, if anybody has any way of helping in that regard, please reach out.
Good deal.
Yeah.
What is the easiest way to reach you? Just
text 540-488-5055.
There you go. And if you can't remember that number, that's okay. It's down in the description. Check it out. Send Josh a text if you have any info on that or any questions. Also, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at JKMotoPodcast. You can ask me any and all questions. Or if you don't feel like texting Josh because maybe that's just too weird, you're not quite on that level with him, feel free to message me, send me some info, and I'll get it his way. I have no issue being the middleman if we need to be. So,
appreciate it.
Sweet. Well,
one more announcement there.
There we go. I was wondering, I thought there was one more thing we were waiting on.
Uh-oh. What were you thinking?
I don't know. That's the thing. I had a feeling.
All right. So, MSRH, my home track. I love it. Love the facility. We made it home. We called it home. The track surface is not the best. Personally, I like it. Makes you a better rider. But when you come from somewhere like Eagles Canyon or Barber back to MSRH, it's it's got character. And we worked last year. I was able to convince the track to do some temporary repairs, and they held up for a little while. They're starting to come up. So we're trying to raise money for the track. The track just, it doesn't have the funds to go and do a full repave. So over the past, 6-7 months, I've become an asphalt engineer, and I've been researching how to do this right and try to find a solution that doesn't involve a full repave. And I found some solutions, and I've got to fund them. So I've talked with the track, and I believe it's going to be the first week in November. This is more for locals than the world, the masses rather, but we're going to do a fundraiser slash membership drive for MSRH. It's going to be open for, I don't know if we're going to do one day or both days yet, but come down and ride MSRH. It'll be open to the public for a track day. And this is for motorcycles or for cars. We are a membership based track for cars and bikes. Mm-hmm. Come down and ride the track. It'll be somewhere between $150 to $180 bucks for the day. And all of my riders, or all of my coaches, the Bentinger Motorsports coaches, Jose, Drew, Jordan, all these guys, we're going to be out there control riding, coaching, instructing, showing you how great the track can be. All that money will go into a pot specifically for track repair. But more importantly, we're going to do a membership drive where the normal initiation fee is $5,000. It'll be cut in half to $2,500 for that day if you sign a contract that day. So half price initiation. And they're going to offer financing on that. So if you can come and you come ride for $150, $180 bucks and you like it and say, hey, I'd like to be a member here. If you put $1,000 down that day, you have a membership and you can finance out the rest of it. And so we're trying to, drive membership, raise money there. But all the money, I've got track management convinced that all the money will be put into a pot specifically for track repairs. I was talking about that this weekend, and a guy came up and said, hey, I'll put a couple grand just to help you out. So we're trying to get the track fixed. Because in Houston, there are no other tracks. You either have to go to Dallas or Austin. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge motorcycle community here. And honestly, MSRH gets I don't say a bad rap, but some people really talk trash about the surface here. But, I mean, there's a couple of bumps, but it's still way safer than going out and racing around the beltway, on the street being stupid. So I hate it when people say stuff like that. And I'm trying to do everything I can to make this track better. It's my home. I plan on being here for a long time. I want to continue to grow the Houston motorcycle riding community every day. I'm in a couple of Houston Facebook groups, Bike Life Houston, New Riders of Houston. And every day it's rider down, you know, fatality on this road, fatality on this road. And it absolutely kills me. And I know it's because there are a lot of guys out there that just don't have information about how to get on the track, the benefits, why you can come and ride. So like, there's so many guys that just are out there and don't know how to ride a motorcycle. And I really want to fix that. It's really close to my heart. I want to get guys off the street, get them to the track. And when we got guys out there talking crap about the track surface, it just kills me. So I'm doing everything I can to fix that. We're going to try to raise some money and try to get this track fixed up a little better so we can have a place for people to come and learn and be safe for many years to come, from kids on the kart track up to adults on the big track with me. So, you know, that's what's up.
What were the dates again on that?
The first weekend in November. I think it's the first and second. I don't have the calendar in front of me.
First weekend.
Let me see here. I can pull it up.
So Friday, Saturday. Friday is the first. So
okay, so it's going to be second, third then.
Second, third. All right, so November 2nd and 3rd, you heard them. That's a pretty sweet deal. You say half price, financing available for membership. But you don't have to do the membership.
No, just come ride and try out the track.
Get a track day. And so you saying cars and bikes, are we doing like a 30-30 split? Or are we doing?
Yeah. That's the way, and here's something else to talk about. So the way members' days work, it's a top of the hour, bikes go out for 30 minutes. Bottom of the hour, cars go out for 30 minutes. If you're a member and you have a car and a bike, you can ride all hour long. Just go come in and put a helmet on and get in your car. MSRH is very open. A lot of other tracks have limited days for members. If you look at the calendar for MSRH, it's pretty wide open for members. Most of the time during the week, it's myself and my students, maybe one or two other people. So you get a lot of open track. Weekend events in the fall and spring. There are some car events, you know, 24 Hours of Lemons comes, SECA races. So there are some car event weekends where bikes can't get on track, but you're guaranteed at least two weekend days per month. And most of the weekdays are wide open. And for that,
you don't have to like check in the morning and spend the whole day there. Correct.
That's a great thing. Like I live 20 minutes from the track and I can be here working on something. So, hey, I'm going to go get the last two sessions of the day. You just go sign in, go ride two sessions, and you know that's it. So it's and if you're trying to get more seat time, I mean, you know, this is a perishable skill. Mm-hmm. If you go out and you ride and then take 2 months off, you know, you lose a lot. So if you can get out and just do a session here or there during the week, you know, take off early on a Friday, come do the last three sessions on a Friday, you can keep your skill set up. And you know, and if the weather sucks, that's a biggie. You know, track day guys, it sucks. You pay the money, and then if it rains, it rains. If you have a membership, you can watch the weather and say, "Oh, I'm going to ride Wednesday instead of Thursday." No big deal. You know, there's no fault there. So,
No, that's awesome. I do. I'm a little jealous of that ability. It would be so sweet to just be able to roll up and be like, "Yeah, I got out an hour early today." Or you know, if you're working salary and you got your job done for the day and you're done, head to the racetrack. So, that's huge. That's awesome. November 2nd and 3rd. Mark your calendars if you're down in the Houston area. Head out. Support them. The more you support them, the better it gets for you. So that just makes sense.
And we're going to provide coaching that day. Like I said, all of my my coaches will be there, and we're just there to help new riders get on track and be safe. We'll coach whatever skill set, whatever level we were talking about you're at. We're there to help you all day long, keep everybody safe. If we have enough bikes, we may even split sessions and do, you know, we may do a novice and an intermediate level or something like that. Whatever we need to do to keep safe that day, we'll be managing that based on the number of signups. But again, all the money goes to the track and
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's huge. The only issue I've had so far, Josh, and the only thing that I'm curious to get your opinion on. We as track day junkies, club racers, track day addicts, first time track day goers, whatever, we often become, I don't want to call it high and mighty, but the phrase goes out a lot, get off the street and come to the track, right?
Sure.
Which I agree with, and I'm not trying to downplay that at all, and I don't disagree, but I've wanted to start stressing to the people of the community, so you guys, the listeners, that it is still important to also convince people to just buy motorcycles. Period. And if we lose our street basis, the manufacturers will stop selling bikes and then we lose our sport altogether, possibly. Now, there's a couple sides of that. That's why I'm just kind of curious in your opinion on it. I had a pretty lengthy discussion one night with the old lady here, and she's not old, with my wife. Sorry. But just how, you know, we talk so much about get off the street, go to the track. You shouldn't ride on the street. And I don't disagree with that. You know, every time I go back to a racetrack, I'm like, why am I even riding on the street at all? But if I hadn't have ever bought a bike and ridden on the street in the first place, I don't know if I ever would have done a track day. Now, I do have one friend who I successfully got to buy a bike, and he did a track day within, fix me if I'm wrong, but within a year. And that's awesome. It's been awesome to see him progress and to see how quickly he has progressed to riding motorcycles just by going to a racetrack instead of just out riding on the street, you know, did a basic rider's course and said, okay, yeah, I'm ready. But I don't think we can just completely delete and forget that people do need to buy street bikes. Now, being a squid out there or doing 100 miles an hour plus or speeding or trying to drag a knee around an on-ramp, clover leaf, whatever you have it, that's a different story. Keep that stuff off the streets. Absolutely. If you're dragging a knee on a clover leaf, come ride with Josh and pass him. If you can, right? Like, it's anyway, that stuff absolutely. But I just, I get a little weird sometimes when get so against the street, if that makes sense. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm not against the street. I came from the street. I'm more targeted towards the latter, what you said. The guys who are out there being silly and stupid. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff I want to end, because those are the guys that end up, you know, in a coffin. I really want to try my best to help that. As far as a community, us getting people off the street, the track is a learning tool. It is a place to learn to ride your motorcycle better. I think that if you and I were totally successful and reached all these different people and got people to the track and a bunch of people did stop riding the street, I think if you go by the numbers, that's probably such a small percentage of overall worldwide motorcycle sales. I don't think we would ever harm a manufacturer's, you know, overall sale. I don't think we have the power to do that.
Maybe, Josh. I'm just kidding.
Maybe if you make it bigger than Kapagi, you get, you know, a million followers here in the next few years. Yes, maybe you can do that. I certainly cannot, and I never have aspirations of doing that. I think that, you know, there's a lot of motorcycles sold, and I just the whole thing is education. I want riders to be smarter, and you can just go to the track and never go back to the street, or go back to the street. But if you do, go back in an educated, smart way and know how to control your motorcycle. It kills me the number of riders that come through here, and we'll go into the minis and I'll ask them, how do you steer your motorcycle? And I constantly get this answer. I just kind of lean it. And they don't understand how to steer a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And these guys are out, you know, doing clover leaves and don't really understand the forces and the inputs and the things that they're doing. And just a little bit of basic information would make so many people so much safer. And that's what I'm after. So do I want to kill all the street riders from riding ever? No, not at all. I just want them to be educated so they can be better about it.
There you go.
That's all.
That's a good input on that. And the other thing that I would say is, what I'll stress to anyone that has, for lack of a better words, a super bike, be it a 600, middle class, or a liter bike. If you are riding a liter bike on the street, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. If you're in America and you think you're doing anything more than 10% of what that bike has to offer, I promise you are not. Get to a racetrack and figure out what it's actually about. Unlock the next 5%. You will be amazed. If you can get up to 50%, it'll blow you away, right? Even top level racers here in America, on the club level especially, will tell you that they are not using the full potential of their bike. They'll admit it all day long. And you go do your first track day and you're a minute off their pace. And you're like, what? Yeah. So anyway, like we kind of mentioned at the very beginning, if you come out and you do nothing other than floor your bike down the front straight because you've never been able to do that before, wide open throttle, go for it. Do it. It's one of the places you can. You follow your lines nicely around and floor it. Do 100 plus on your bike. It's freaking awesome. It's one of the best feelings in the world. Absolutely. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And so, yeah, if you want to unlock the full potential or at least another 5 to 10% of your bike that you didn't know was possible, or you thought you were already riding but you weren't, that's the place to do it. So
I agree 100%.
That's my input on that.
No, I agree. I've got this student. His name's John Bailey. I actually have a drill named after him. He's an awesome dude. Been working with him for, let's see, I met him Memorial Day of 2023 and met him at COTA. He signed up for private instruction. He bought a Ducati, wanted private instruction, paid for it, and we went out and we worked. And now he rides an R7, and he told me yesterday, I made a small little joke about red bikes parking it in the corners at COTA. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, he said, I was so stupid. He said, I wasted a year of my riding and a ton of money. I don't know why I went out and bought that bike. And yeah, I got 180 miles down the backstretch out of my system, and that was great. Was it worth the money I spent? And he said, I wish I would have known about these small bikes and learning the right way a year ago, because I blew a lot of time. And he's, I'm going to say he's mid-50s. And he's like, I don't have a lot of time. I don't have an extra year to waste. And I wish somebody would have told me or would have learned early on. And of course, I was harping on him from the day one. I was like, you know, I have a little Ninja 300, and I try every student. I don't make them, but I highly encourage them to take it out for a session. And I'm going to say 99% of the riders come in and like, oh my God, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. I learned so much, you know, and I can't say enough about small bikes. And that's one of the reasons we do those dealership events, Noob School, where we talk about what bike to ride. I did the same thing. I had an R1. I was like, I got to go to the track. I got to have the fastest bike because I didn't know any better. So we mm-hmm. did getting that information out there, which is what you're doing, which is, you know, it's huge to get the information out. And that's another reason I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you and everything that you're doing for us, for the community, for, you know, for the world, quite honestly. So
stupid train. I think I have to move. The other night I kind of snapped. I've been here a year and a half, and I went out and did the, you know, to the train engineers who went by. Ever since, they've been pulling the horn a little bit extra, so I think we have to move now.
Uh-oh. They got him. They passed the word around. They're like, that one. He yelled at us.
That guy.
We're not going to stop, so might as well light him up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, it's getting late for me, probably a little late for you. It's been great to have you back. Great to hear some of the new things that are coming, some of the new things that already have come for you and Ride Smart both. And, you know, I'm looking forward to following along. As always, as we mention every week, follow Josh over on Instagram at Bettinger Motorsports, on Facebook, Josh Bettinger. Link for his website down in the description. Go ride with him down at MSRH or at any Ride Smart event all across Texas. Doing some great stuff. I'll be down there in a couple months. Super looking forward to that. Hopefully my first coaching experience is good. Yeah. So...
Is Cole coming too?
Yeah, to be determined. But I do have another buddy that will be coming down with me, and we'll be we will be bringing back some data. So Josh won't be able to lie to you. I'm gonna put that data out to the entire world of, hey, this is where we started, and this is where we ended, and this is what he liked, this is what he didn't like. We'll keep our reviews very honest, not biased.
I want it. I absolutely want that. I would love that. I believe in what we're doing so much. Like, I absolutely want to look at the data. I would love for you guys to ride the first day. Then we'll train at the end of it, run your data again, and I want your honest opinion. And I really think that you guys will learn a lot. I think you'll be a lot faster. I think you'll have more control of your motorcycles. And I absolutely want to send you back to other tracks with skills that you can use at other tracks. I don't want to just be a tour guide for MSRH. I want you to learn some stuff here, some stuff here. I want you guys to learn stuff that you can take home, be faster everywhere and safer everywhere you ride. But I really hope Colt can come. And aren't you supposed to call him out? Like, this is brought to you by Working Class Customs and Custom Shop, and you're supposed to go see Cole because he's awesome. Which I want to talk to him sometime about that, because before this, I had, I definitely built things and fab stuff, and I'd like to hang out with Cole and get to know a little bit about what he does.
There you go. Well, yeah, we'll keep pushing him to get down there. We'll see. See, he's also a busy man. So
I'm sure.
But yeah, looking forward to coming down, visiting you in November, and everyone that's listening, our listeners, followers, racers, riders, the junkies, you can look forward to some data driven reviews of Bettinger Motorsports. And if you're not doing anything this weekend and they still have tickets available, you can ride with Ride Smart at COTA this weekend.
Nope, sold out.
Sold out. Never mind, you can't, which is a bummer. But it will be coming to Jennings next year, so mark your calendars for that. So,
yep, absolutely. Thanks, dude. Anyway, I appreciate you, man.
Yep, thank you for joining us, and for everyone listening, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys all next week.